Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel as fall camp set to open for the Tennessee Volunteers. Adam, good morning. How are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Ready to get this thing started?
Ready to get it started. And we have reached that time of year. And, Adam, as you know, a lot of conversation the last couple of weeks in Knoxville about Boo Carter and what exactly is going on there. Is he going to be on the team? Is he leaving? Like, what's happening with Boo Carter? So what's your sense for the latest of where things currently stand with Boo Carter as fall camp is about to open up?
Isn't it crazy that the quarterback situation is like the second storyline? Yeah. Now, only at Tennessee this has happened. I mean, the short answer is I don't know if he's on the roster right now as I'm on the phone. That things seem to be moving toward Boo remaining on the team. I mean, we do have to remember that, like, this isn't a binary decision necessarily of, like, adding him to the team or taking him off a team. Like, he's there, so until he's not, he remains on the team. If you just, like, read the tea leaves of some of the stuff his family have put out on social media, which, grain of salt, but still, it's there, seems to be a much better chance that he's going to be here. We're maybe not going to know until Josh Heupel addresses it. I mean, there were team meetings last night, positional meetings. They've gone through all that stuff. There's been no tweets or Instagrams or anything of Boo saying, you know, farewell or anything like that. My hunch is that he's going to be on the team, but with some conditions. And we'll see whether or not Josh Heupel reveals that or not. At the very least, I mean, we're going to know just because he's either going to be on the roster or not on the roster. You know, a lot of times if there's punishment, so to speak, of missing meetings or workouts or anything like that, team activities, a lot of coaches say, we'll handle it internally and whatever that is. I don't know that fans even care what that means, but just that he's on the team or not.
Yeah, and it seems to me, first of all, Boo Carter being on the team or not being on the team, I would say, boy, that's a pretty big news item for this team, given like how reliant I think it will be on him. But we have talked, Adam, some about this situation, and then if you look at Nico, different situations, of course. But, you know, is there a big picture program concern to be found in any of this, or are we just looking at the reality of, you know, if you have 100 people, you're going to have issues at times?
I'd say more of the latter. I mean, and these have gone different ways. I mean, just think of this offseason. Ricky Gibson was almost gone. Yeah. He sort of moved toward the transfer portal, never went in. Mike Matthews did the same thing. And then obviously Nico leaving. I think this is one of those things where, and I just got back from SEC Media Days, right, where you're sitting around and you're talking to all these other SEC beat writers and, hey, you won't believe what is going on with the program I cover and that sort of thing. I think fans would be surprised if they were fans of another team, how much what gives them anxiety happens at other teams. It's just, you don't know that a lot of these things happen because, right, Ricky Gibson, Mike Matthews, those guys almost went into the transfer portal. Most people outside of like the absolute rabid core fan base of Tennessee didn't know that any players like that almost went into the transfer portal. I find that when I put up the story about Boo Carter the other day, there were even people in our industry that are pretty plugged in. We're like, hey, apparently something's happened with Boo Carter. And you're like, well, this has been going on a week. People don't know. And therefore, I think Tennessee fans that think that the worst happens here, they would be surprised this happens at a lot of other places. I think it also goes back to the fact that when Nico left in the spring, Heupel really leaned into the, you know, nobody's bigger than the power T sort of thing. So he sort of like drew a line right there that I think he's being held by for better or worse now.
So Adam, as you mentioned, you know, the quarterback story is a huge one heading into fall camp. You know, wide receiver, we've talked with you before in the past about how unproven it is there. And we've not even really gotten to the fact that Tennessee is about to have to replace a 1,500-yard back from a year ago. So how exactly do you think that's going to shake out? Is there going to be one dominant ball carrier in your mind? Is it going to be maybe more of a running back by committee approach with Star Thomas and Deshaun Bishop, Peyton Lewis? How do you think they handle that this year?
I think it's probably by committee more so. Now, they switched running back coaches the last couple of years, and under the old way, it was more of a trio. The last couple of years, it's been more of a duo. They've got either option now. So Deshaun Bishop, Peyton Lewis, I think, is the obvious duo. Did Star Thomas catch up? Because he was a little behind. He was obviously a little behind, which happens a lot with transfers coming in, having to get used to the tempo and all that. But in the spring, he was behind. We'll see in camp if he can catch up. I think that's the difference of whether they're a duo or trio. Obviously, injuries are going to come into play too. I'm not terribly worried about it. I mean, I think Heupel's offense, to some extent, is sort of the – was it like the early 2000s Denver Broncos, right, where they used to just plug in a guy and somehow he rushed for 1,200 yards?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a Dylan Sampson on this team, but I do think they're going to produce just because of the style of the offense, how spread out everything is. I mean, Deshaun Bishop is sort of gives me a Jabari Small feel, like a guy who's probably not going to have a decade-long NFL career or anything, but he's going to be very productive in this offense and give them what they need.
So, at quarterback, like you said, it somehow takes a little bit of a backseat. I think eventually it'll reemerge as the story, of course, of camp. We've asked you before, but after going through SEC media days, how do you handicap this situation? I mean, there's a lot of praise for Aguiar and sort of how he's entrenched himself, some of his leadership stuff, but Merklinger has more time in the system. There's a lot of excitement about the freshman, McIntyre. How do you expect this to play out, Adam?
Well, coming out of SEC Media Days, like, everybody wrote about Joey Aguilar because we hadn't talked to him yet. He's the new guy. It's always one of those funny things about, is the coach mostly talking about this guy, or is the coach talking about this guy because that's the guy everybody's asking about? It was a little of both, I think, at SEC Media Days. I think he could level out a little bit today and as we get into camp. I'll be interested to see, Josh Heupel's approach to this, because in the middle of talking about all that he loved about Joey Aguilar at SEC Media Days, he would every once in a while be like, but it's an open competition. Everybody's going to get their opportunity. And so we talk to all three quarterbacks today. Is Josh Heupel and Joey Hosley going to present that more as a three-way race today rather than what it seemed like at SEC Media Days was more like it's Joey Aguilar's job to lose. Now, I think that may be closer to the truth, but, it's fun. I mean, I would still put Aguilar as the highest odds, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But, they've never ruled out Jake Merklinger, and it's a long time before kickoff. And Syracuse is a game that if you don't have to play your best game to beat Syracuse, but you can't play poorly and necessarily beat Syracuse. And they will go into that game with whoever they think can run the offense efficiently and not necessarily make, just enormous plays. And Jake Merklinger at least has a chance to be that guy. I would say Aguilar has a better chance, but Merklinger does have a shot.
So, Adam, we've talked before about the blue chip ratio and, the amount of talent that this Tennessee team has, and for the first time, I think I saw Ryan Callahan put this out there last week, for the first time in 20 years, they've got a blue chip ratio that would suggest that they can actually win a national championship. And you look back over the last 25 years, I mean, you've got to have a certain number of 4- and 5-star guys to win a national championship. As you pointed out yesterday at the Knoxville News Sentinel, a lot of those guys are really, really young. They've got a really young team this year. So how do you balance those two things for this year, viewing this team in terms of it's a really talented roster, it's also a really young roster?
Yeah, I think the way I put it in the story was that this roster is built to win eventually, but not necessarily immediately. Could win big this year, we'll see, but it's, the 49% of this roster, counting walk-ons, 49% of this roster are freshmen, true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. And so those are guys that have basically not played at all or close to at all. This is the largest freshman class, if you put those two together, Josh Heupel's ever had. It's the first time he's ever gotten that close to half of the roster as freshman or redshirt freshman. This is the most redshirt freshman he's had, which means those are guys that have been around that know the system, but they also haven't played. And I mentioned a few of those guys just in this call. But, yeah, the quote-unquote blue-chip ratio, the four-star, five-star, that allotment is the largest it's been under Josh Heupel. So a lot of talent there, but it's untapped talent. I mean, I think I counted in my projected depth chart there are like 30 or 44 guys, I think, in the two deep. 30 of 44 guys, I believe was the number, that are four stars or five stars. And Josh Heupel did not have that much quote unquote talent in some of his better teams at Tennessee. So it's there. You just don't know if it's going to show up early in the season, later in the season, or this season at all. And maybe you're waiting a year later. It's a big mystery of this season. There's some suspense. And I think that's why it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, obviously there are some talented guys who should emerge this year. Give me one name, Adam, of someone who no one's really talking about now, but maybe by the time the season starts or maybe even early in the season, people are going to be talking about.
Oh, boy.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot on that one.
Well, nobody's talking about that. That's sort of hard to gauge, but Braylon Staley. I would put him in there because as a slot receiver, it's a guy that they liked in practice a lot last year, but he hardly ever played. So the we love him in practice guys. A lot of times if they're young enough, usually pan out a year later. He plays a slot, which means in this offense, the slot, you're going to get a whole lot of targets. It's almost sort of the safety valve, what a tight end is in a pro-style offense. So he's going to get a lot of targets. There's not really like anybody behind him. There's freshmen. There's a injured redshirt freshman, Amari Jefferson, or at least he was injured in the spring. So by position, by talent, and, you know, this is a guy that Braylon Staley being on the team is one of the reasons Squirrel White is not on the team, that he's at Florida State. Because that's Squirrel White, I think, probably wanted a little bit of bump in pay and wanted to make sure that his place in this roster was sealed up. And I think he looked at it and said, Braylon Staley's going to take away some of my snaps next season. And so for that reason, I think Braylon Staley at the end of the year, you're going to say, okay, that's the guy that really produced it. We didn't necessarily know he would back in the fall.
Well, Adam, we're excited. Fall camp is here. And then about, you know, a couple days in the fall camp, we'll be like, all right, so when are the games coming? But we're excited that we're here. We're getting there. We're getting closer. And appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rexwell. We'll react to what Adam had to say, get his thoughts or get your thoughts on the Boo Carter situation for Tennessee as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rexwell, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Pre-game at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Appreciate Adam Sparks for being with us in the last segment. We will have the Brian Callahan press conference a little bit later this hour as the Titans are back on the field today at training camp. And they're set to start practice at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later this hour. As Adam put it in the last segment, Joe, Boo Carter is on the roster as we speak. Fall camp opening up. They'll have the media day this week. So we'll see if or when Josh Heupel addresses the Boo Carter situation. I mean, look, at this point, it's not like he could enter the transfer portal and go play somewhere else this year. So he's either going to have to play or I guess just sit out a year if you're Boo Carter at this point, which is tough to imagine him doing. My guess is he's going to play and he's going to be on the roster, and then they're probably going to have a situation to figure out after this year. That's my guess.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I think some of this stuff is weird. It's possibly stuff that has nothing to do with the portal and NFL.
No, it's just I mean, if you look at some of it, apparently it's he's not doing things he needs to be doing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like he's not showing up to meetings and he's not putting in the time that is required. So, you know, if you're Heupel, you look at that and you say, on one hand, he's clearly one of your most talented players. And on the other hand, if he's not doing the things that other guys on your team are doing, do you tolerate that?
Right.
Like, how do you handle that if you're the head coach?
Yeah, and it's interesting, too. You know, we've talked about the program question, and I tend to agree with Sparks, which is if you're hyper-focused on one program, you see all the warts and everything, and if you paid closer attention to another program, there'd be almost situations that we don't know about that happen, right? But it's funny, too, you're seeing, like, James Pierce right now, who actually, the interesting thing about Pierce is a lot of stuff about him at Tennessee didn't come out until the draft process, but two things with him. One, apparently he's absolutely lighting up the Falcons camp so far. It's like, whoa. Also, he's starting fights.
He's fighting everyone.
But, hey, I'd take that on my team.
Sure.
You're going to sack the quarterback, getting some fights with some guys? Yeah, let's do that. But there's another example of a guy who, look, who doesn't want James Pierce on their team? Who doesn't want Boo Carter on their team? Who doesn't want Nico on their team? Different situations.
Yep.
But it's always the, you know, that you do have to, I mean, you don't want too much. A certain amount of turmoil can derail things no matter how much talent you have. Going to be really interesting because it's just so, when someone is as talented as Boo Carter, you hate to hear about stuff like, you know, not putting in the work or not showing up at stuff. It's like, you can be a pro, you know, maximize yourself and be a great college player and be so good as a college player, you can be a difference maker for this team to elevate. So hopefully he figures it out.
Well, and part of the hope if you're a Tennessee fan this year is, number one, that the quarterback play and the offense as a whole is just better than it looks like they're going to be on paper. And number two, that the defense can come close to replicating what they were last year. Well, if they're going to do that, Boo Carter's going to have to be a big part of it, right?
Like, no doubt.
He's going to have to be – he is, I think unquestionably, but there's a couple guys you can make the argument for, but he is up there with your most talented players on the defensive side of the ball. Now, you know, what version of Jermaine McCoy are you getting? Like, if he's completely healthy, you're talking about a probable first-round pick at corner. So he would probably be at the head of the list. But Boo Carter, from just a pure raw ability standpoint, is up towards the top of your roster right now of players that you have. And that's on defense. We'll see how much they use him on offense. And I think he's got a chance to be like an all-SEC type of returner for as well.
That makes a huge difference. You know, I mean, think about some of their toss-up games. A huge return, you know, can make a difference in a game like that. That's the type of guy who can give you that. Yeah, and we'll see with the offense. I mean, the Braylon Staley name drop there from Annisburg. He's not the first one to drop that. Certainly,
you hear a lot of buzz.
There's a lot of buzz there, and that'd be great. But I still look at the receiving core, and I'm like, well, if they can find a way, it's kind of weird with this offense to think about that, the way that we're used to seeing Heupel use personnel at receiver. Yep. But they might need it.
I am interested to see if there is a running back. You know, obviously Samson was such a stud for them last year. Is there a running back that kind of grabs the bull by the horns and is that guy? Like, they brought in Star Thomas from Duke, who had a total of, I think, 29 carries and 61 yards last year. So, like, Star Thomas is not going to be your bell cow. Does he get in the rotation as the third guy? Is Peyton Lewis, who I think they really like, is he going to be their number one back this year? Is it Deshaun Bishop? Is it basically Bishop's playing one series, Lewis is playing the next? I'm interested to see how they handle running back this year.
Yeah, like you said, they've been doing the three thing at times. That's been like, man, you know, at times I feel like they've rotated too much at running back a little bit, but this may be the year where you do it until you really find something. I'd also agree with Sparks if I'm a running back, honestly, more than a receiver, I love playing in this offense.
Yep.
I think if, of all the offensive positions, I think running back should be most in love with this offense because it's just like, wow, all those guys are way spread out over the field. I like this. So I mean, they haven't had great offensive line play, and they still had – and Dylan Sampson's a great talent on his own, so – don't get me wrong. They've had some great players there, but I think they're going to get production there. They're going to have a good running game.
We'll have an early version of the Rob Rant coming up next. Callahan press conference scheduled to be right around 7:40 this morning, so we will get to that later this hour as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, if you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
So it's a nice mix of mushy toilet paper. Pittsburgh, let's weld.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
This would be,
You can act like a man!
Day three.
I don't.
School's still out.
Going to stay.
All day. Frozen.
Yeah, you will really get farted up with that stuff, okay?
Chad, are you telling me that our best performer this year was the punter? Again?
Again.
It is that time of the day. An early version of the Rob Rant here on the program. By the way, let me clarify something real quick because I'm a total moron. Star Thomas had 871 yards rushing last year, which is partially my fault for not remembering that, but also partially Sports Reference is a site that I trust a lot, and they had him at 29 carries for 61 yards. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Very different.
That worries me because I treat Sports Reference as gospel.
They're usually good. They, for whatever reason, I don't know if there's another Star Thomas that also played for Duke, but off on this one.
That'd be a story.
It would be. So 213 carries for 871 yards last year.
That sounds better.
A little bit more like it.
Yeah.
There we go. Real quickly, Southwest Airlines, who I largely love and have been flying on Southwest Airlines for a long time, they really upset me this past week as I was traveling to and from Disney. And it's really not anything that directly affected me. But our flight from Orlando to Nashville was full, right? Like it sold out. So, you know, they did the thing where they get on the intercom like, you know, 15 minutes before the flight happens. And it's like, we need some volunteers to bring us your bags and we'll check them for free because we're going to run out of overhead bin space. Which every time they do this, it drives me insane. Because you sell the tickets. You sell the airplane. You know exactly how many seats are on there. If you can't have an airplane where everybody gets one carry-on, where you could put an overhead bin, which is what the price comes with, by the way, then don't sell it. Don't sit here 15 minutes before the flight. Oh, hey, guys, we're going to run out of overhead room. We need like 10 people to come up and check your bags for free. Which, by the way, I think more people would probably continue to check their bags had you not just started charging $35 to check a bag when you've been free for the last, I don't know, forever. So Southwest Airlines, don't get on the intercom 15 minutes before the flight takes off and start talking about how they need 10 volunteers to come up and check your bags. You sell the plane. You sell the tickets. Accommodate people's space.
Is it people bringing more than one? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think you're allowed to.
That's it. Yeah.
Like you can have your one overhead bin and your one that you carry in your seat with you that goes under the seat.
But I feel like
maybe somebody brings five of them in there. I don't know.
Well, I think some people do bring those two, but then they put both in the overhead. I don't know. But
how would you know that before the flight?
Right. Like you're just like assuming that
some people
are going to. Okay. If not, you're absolutely right. Then you are mistreating your customers.
Yeah, like you've sold the tickets. You know how many people are on the flight. So get enough overhead room to accommodate that.
Right.
I don't know it boggles my mind every time. It's like, well, the flight's going to be full. It's like, do you guys not expect flights to be full? Most of the time I'm on a plane, the flights are full. I don't know what to tell you. Like very rarely do I come across it's like on the way down there, we had a not full plane and I was like, this is awesome. Like this never happens to me. There's only like
stretch out.
There's like 15 available seats back here. That never happens, which was great.
Yeah, that is. It's like okay, so you have these seats. Did you not build a plane with the corresponding bag room? Seems like it is, right?
You would think
if you go three across and then go up to the bin up there, seems like it's enough room for everybody to put a bag in there.
And even that, like I can understand. All right, maybe we're anticipating some bigger bags in the overhead bin, so you need like two or three volunteers. They said 10. I was like, 10 volunteers? Did they just not build overhead space in this plane? What's going on?
They're asked for 10. How many did they get? 10?
They got, I think, 6 or 7.
Yeah. So, you know, they're like over asking. Yeah. Do you guys get the family boarding, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty sweet.
I didn't have to
worry. Allison coming in handy.
I was not gonna run out of the overhead bin.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be on the plane.
You're gonna be fine.
You don't have to wake up for that check in. Yeah.
Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Don't even worry about it. So you just like see whatever and just yep. Allison, you're the ticket.
Yeah, just hop right on. Which and you can feel it's especially when you're going to Orlando because like half the plane is family boarding.
Yeah.
You can feel the people that just like hate you looking at you walking on the plane and just wave at them. Hope you guys have a nice flight.
That is true though.
Enjoy C-24 back there.
There are a lot though. That's so right.
Yeah.
So okay. So when there's that many, do they care? They still don't care about your seat assignment. It's just how you, just however fast you line up to the family line.
Yeah. And I'm near the front every time.
Yeah.
I bet you are.
It's time to get up.
I know we don't board for another 25 minutes, but let's get over here to the front. Thank you.
Brian, real quick, says, my blood boils when farting, I don't think I can say that word, board flights with multiple guitar cases, which take up an enormous amount.
That
is true. The guitar cases can that can suck up some room.
It can. We will have the Brian Callahan press conference coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We will have the Brian Callahan press conference live from training camp, coming up here momentarily. He's scheduled to speak right now. So we'll see when Brian Callahan hops up to the podium there. But
is he late again?
Usually pretty prompt.
He was late last week.
Couple minutes.
What's going on? What is going on? Is it hat? Is it
if you had the hat on forward,
hat
probably
fashioning,
be a little bit
more. Fashioning the hat correctly?
If the hat was on forward, he'd probably be a little bit more on time.
I think so. To lead him to the presser, you know, instead of pulling him back.
I mean, does he know that we moved up the ramp just for him?
He must not know. He must not care. He probably does, and he's just sitting there laughing at us.
Or maybe he's a big, staunch defender of Southwest Airlines and the overhead bin space that they have.
That's true.
Very upset with what we just did. I don't know.
By the way, Ed said he could be Section 810, and he'd fume at the family boarding.
Oh, okay.
Those family boarders. I've been mad at them, too, before.
Oh, I'm sure. Look, I've been mad at them before, and then I took advantage of it when Allison was born and was like, hey.
This is a sweet deal. I like this.
pretty nice.
This is a good policy.
I like this. You know, when is the assigned seating scheduled to come in for Sal? Is it next year?
It's soon.
Okay. I guess. I thought it was already going to be.
No, it's not in there yet.
No, I know, but when they initially communicated, I thought it was going to happen sometime this year.
We'll see.
Brian?
Jerry says, Robbie, it's the losers that bring their bag and backpack that is bigger than their bag and a purse and a diaper bag and a sack from the gift shop that's been going on long before they started charging. Just limit people to one carry-on and everything would be fine. I'm with you.
One bag altogether, Jerry?
I kind of view that, you know, especially, you know, before we had Allison, as a challenge. Like, I never checked a bag. I was like, I don't care if we're going somewhere for a week and a half. I will pack it all into a carry-on. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And now, you know, with the toddler, it's impossible.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, if you're over a long trip, bigger liquids and stuff like that, you know, check a bag. But, no, I think, you know, a small suitcase and your little backpack should be
fine.
That's
the thing. The carry-ons now are so large.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, like, massive. They're almost our entire suitcase. So people, you know, take advantage of that whole, hey, does it fit in the bin?
Right.
Kinda, not really. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So what you're saying is maybe I was a little too harsh on Southwest Airlines.
Right. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Robert says Brian is practicing his speech in the mirror. See, he's looking out there. He sees Kaharski out there. He's like, oh,
hat? No hat?
Deep,
how does it look?
Deep breaths.
I'm going, just hair today? Swoof.
Dexter says, being on time is for nerds.
Pads are coming on. It's when real football starts to get played.
That's right. Dennis is asking, do you have to take your shoes off at security or has that ended?
I did not have to.
Yeah.
I did not have to either in the Nashville airport or the Orlando airport.
Interesting.
Shoes on both times.
Okay. Because here and there, I've had situations where it's like, yeah, you're fine.
I mean, early June, I had to take them off.
Yeah.
So must have been that's a recent change, I think.
And I didn't even tell you guys that, you know, we went and got the real ID a few weeks ago and we're prepared for it just not showing up in time. When I tell you we left on Saturday and the real idea came in the mail on Friday,
oh,
it was awesome.
Wow.
I mean, it was perfect.
That is big time.
I made it through, you know. Here, they didn't really care too much.
Extra screening.
Yeah, I had my temporary and I had my old ID. But when we were coming back from Florida, they did the whole little hand swipe on me.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the hand swipe. I'm glad that Brian Callahan has decided not to do his press conference so that we could have this conversation. We could have this time. We could have this time together.
I love their little, you know, stall music. It's just great.
Yeah. Hey, that at least tells you that they're expecting him up on the podium at some point here, too. We'll see what happens on
is
that
he okay? Friday. Is this breaking news? Brian Callahan okay?
Yeah, right. Look, it's a detailed practice plan. Got to go over at training camp. They got to get out there.
I mean, Karski right now is getting antsy in that front row.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's up there just absolutely. He's got so many questions bursting out of him.
But again, like, you know, training camp practices, there's a limitation to what they mean. I will say when they get into the pads and they get into the shells, at least you can start to determine a little bit more about the trenches, right? Like, because, I mean, when it's just helmets and T-shirts and shorts and they're running around out there, I don't put a whole lot of stock into what happens on the offensive and or defensive lines at that point.
Yeah. No, you'll start to figure. This is a big, to me, big day, big week for the offensive line to win consistently. I'm sorry, but Arden Key can be a problem. He's going to make some plays this year. But
we've seen him do it in camp before.
Yeah, and some in games.
Some being the key word.
Yeah, yeah. It's certainly not consistent, but like he's capable of beating an offensive lineman. But you want to see the offensive line, to me, win more than it loses. January 27th, 2026 is what a texter is saying for when we have
assigned seats.
Assigned seating.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've come to totally embrace their system. Pretty sad.
I'm actually okay with the assigned seats, particularly if, it avoids people, like, stretching out. Like, I saw somebody on the plane where they got on, I guess they were before family boarding. And I guess they were trying to save the seats for everybody else. And they had, like, their entire foot stretched out. I was like, ease up, dude. If you just tell me you're saving the seat, it's all good. You don't have to stick your whole foot out.
No, I make myself try to, like, just go Jabba the Hutt, you know. And I'm like, you don't want to try to sit in this middle seat. Look at me, like, spread out all here. Keep moving. I guess that's true. And plus, you don't have to worry about the, oh, my God, I didn't check in right at the exact. Yeah. I forgot. Now I'm a C.
Yeah, that's probably
nine.
The worst part.
Like, Allison.
5:30 a.m. flight, waking up 5:30. Well, I guess that's not an issue for us, but the morning before to check in.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'd rather not have to do that.
But yes. Now, that's a good thing.
Only to still get, like, B35.
The best is when you're, like, A-list. Well, I've traveled enough in some years where I'm, like, A-list no matter what. So even if you forget, you're going to get A, like, 59, you know. You're going to be fine. So is this the last time we trust Brian Callahan to start a press conference on time?
I think he's up there now.
Oh!
All right. Good morning. Excited for the first day of pads here. Looking to keep improving on where we started from the offseason into the training camp portion. Now we actually get to do some real football. We get to fit up and thud and see guys come off the ball and work on block combinations and playing off combinations and linebackers fitting and all the things that you want to see in pads. So today should be a fun day, and I'm looking forward to it. Other than that, wish you guys have at it.
You have pass rush one-on-ones today?
Yeah, 37-on-7.
How valuable is that?
It's valuable in the sense that it's an opportunity for guys to work on their craft. I don't know that it necessarily is a drill that's telling of a guy's ability to pass protect or not. It's just a technique drill. It's a little bit skewed defensively on that regard. So it's good. It's the right drill for technique, but it's a drill.
How much offensive line says that obviously they need the pads on in order to show what they've got because the defense always seems to have an advantage with the first few days of camp. What do you need to see out of that group today in terms of cohesion and getting the job done?
Yeah, just what you said, cohesion's a big part of it. How we come off the ball, how we work in combination together with all the different combination blocks that happen up front. Just see what those actually get to look like when we can really come off the ball the right way. You know, anytime you're not in pads, you're mindful of that banging back and forth. So we get to go now. The governors are off, and we can come off the football, and all those things are a part of the process, but excited to be able to see it happen for real finally.
Brian, you guys haven't been here all that long, obviously, but
three straight years where first round picks really have contributed very little to the team. How much does that kind of put you guys now at a bit of a disadvantage because of what happened?
Yeah, hard to comment on what and why things happened before, and what decisions were made at those moments. But you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to continue to add good players so we can have a chance to be more competitive and win more football games. So feel good about the guys we've added since we've been here, and those guys have contributed for us and will continue to. I'm excited about our first round pick this year, which is good.
Brian, what have you told the guys about extracurricular things after the play? You can pull pads for the last year of the pod with Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
You told the guys anything, don't do it, stay away from it. What's been the message?
Yeah, same message as it was last year, in the sense that it's a penalty, first and foremost. There's nothing worse than watching guys swing at each other with helmets on. You're not accomplishing anything. And that we want to protect each other. So those things aren't acceptable. We don't tolerate it. Tempers flare in training camp. I'm not naive. This isn't my first training camp. I get how it happens. But we don't want that. And I've expressed that pretty straightforwardly to our team. And so, again, if you get some pushing and shoving and all that, that happens. But we don't want any fights. That's not football.
How does your approach with Cameron Ward this year differ from the way you did things last year?
I don't know. That'd be hard to say. I mean, we still teach the offense. We still go about our process pretty similarly from a schematic and system standpoint, I think. I've always coached quarterbacks a very particular way, and I think Bo does it the same way I do it, along with Nick. We've got a pretty, I think, consistent approach to how we coach the position. So hard to say there's a lot of differences that I could point out at the moment, but yeah, there's certainly things that cater to the personality, that cater to the type of player, depending on the differences. So that's something that does come up. But anything that jumps out, I'd have to think a little harder on that one for you, TD.
You had mentioned the daily development for Cameron Ward. What's the daily development like for you? Just as a quarterback coach, so to speak.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, the head coach, but I mean, just
are you talking about quarterback play?
Yeah, for you, daily development, working with Cam Ward, like, what are some of the things that are different now as opposed to when we first got out here?
Well, we're just the volume of what we're seeing. So the difference between, like, his spring is the install process is a little slower. It's kind of one install a day, and then you have days in between, and now you come to training camp and you rip off like 9 straight installs. So every day there's more coming. There's more looks from the defense, and it's coming at a more rapid pace, and so you have to pick it up. It's now all being condensed, and we're sort of in a race against every other team in the league to get all of our stuff down. And the biggest thing to me is just the operation versus our defense, with the amount of pressures we see, the handling of the protection. So again, the third downs are a big part of it. That process every day is every look, every defensive pressure, every time we get a chance to coach off those things is a huge part of the development. We can't get enough of it.
With more coming for Cam, as you're saying, how has he maybe responded to that uptick?
Fantastic. He's really done a nice job on the mental side of things. A lot of it's because he works really hard at it. You know, there's a lot of effort put in on his part to know what to do, to know how to do it. I think that you start to see where he become things he's comfortable with. So there's some things that he likes better than others, like every quarterback. And so you're starting to get a better feel for me on my end on what he likes, what he feels comfortable with, and where are some things that we got to keep working on so he feels like he's at the right place when we go play in September. So we got a lot of work ahead still.
Inside linebackers get camped a few times with the interceptions. Is that any concerns of like I guess a blind spot, or do you tie any of that together?
No, certainly things you got to correct and coach off of. One of the minor things that shows up sometimes is quarterbacks generally have a lot of confidence in trying to throw the ball over people, and that's a thing in the NFL you don't get away with very often. And so just you learn that, you know, you learn that these guys get enough depth, they're where they're supposed to be. It's hard to throw the ball over people, and he's had 2 or 3 of those to Cody. And then the one in the stadium was just a really nice, Cam got moved off his spot in the pocket, so he's a little bit late to it. And then James made a great break on the ball. That one was just a really good play by James. But those are the things you coach and you keep working on, and you keep showing where the alternative throw could have been. And he gets it every time we go through it. So it's a good process.
On Lloyd, how's Levin done? And are you working some other guys in there?
Yeah, Corey's done a really nice job. I've kind of praised Corey previously, but he's stepped up. He's done a good job managing the line, making the calls, having guys on the same page. I've been really happy with what Corey's done. You see his veteranness, the amount of football he's been around, it shows up. So it's been super helpful to keep progressing for us up front. He's done a really, really good job there. Rupich has gotten some snaps at center. Brewer snaps at center. Jackson Slater could at some point. He hasn't really done much of that at the moment. But we're rotating guys back through there. Sam Mustafer gets a little bit of work in there as well at center. So we got some guys rolling. They're doing a good job. And we'll find out a little bit more when we get the pads today. But I think Corey's been very good for us.
Atlanta concedes that ladder work is not his strength.
Sure.
When a guy's not good on the ladder, how much does that translate to his actual footwork, and what degree is that a concern?
Not a lot. Some guys got really great feet in the ladder. It's a drill, and it's something you can get better at. You can improve your ladder ability. It doesn't show up. I mean, he can still get out of the top of his routes. He can still make a cut at the top of the break, and it doesn't show up in that. Some guys, the bigger guys, sometimes have a tougher time with the ladders, the longer legs, but that doesn't really see. I don't see it translate into his route running.
You're smiling. He takes grief for it. It's kind of a don't think.
Sure. Yeah.
How much more with the pads going on? How much more can you see and I guess evaluate the one-on-one matchups between the receivers and the DBs, like the press coverage drills?
That's a big part too. It's very similar to the one-on-one pass rush. It's a drill. It's not the end-all be-all for what they're doing, but it is a chance for those guys just to feel, especially our young players, what press coverage feels like. We don't get to work a ton versus press in the offseason because of the rules. And then even when you do, it's the physicality is not the same when you got pads on. And so it's a good drill to work. It's good for your technique, to work your releases, all those stuff. It's great. We'll do it today. It's just part of the process of getting guys ready to go play football on the perimeter. But corners, too. The corners need the same work that our receivers work. It goes both ways.
Brian, going back to James Williams, where have you seen him take steps? Obviously,
he takes a big step. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mental side has probably been his biggest improvement. And the mental side of knowing what to do, but then being able to diagnose and do it. That's been the jump he's made the most is he's much more comfortable in where his eyes are supposed to be reacting to whatever blocking combinations he's seeing, gap plays, zone plays, being where he's supposed to be in the fit, and then doing a much better job in pass coverage too, just understanding where to be on the field in zone and where his eyes are supposed to be in man. His improvement has been noticeable, and I'm excited to see that continue.
There's a reason why we talk when young quarterbacks join teams that aren't very good and are drafting high about them potentially sitting, waiting, developing. Mm-hmm. When you take the guy first overall, it's not really much of a question. But what is it about Cam that makes you confident if things get ugly, if this situation is really rough for him in the season, that his development won't be stunted, and he'll be able to handle it anyways?
Yeah, playing quarterback in the NFL, I don't think there's any substitutes of playing quarterback. There's so many things they learn when they play the game that you can't necessarily simulate and teach. That part of being in the fire is what helps quarterbacks get better faster. So I've always been a big believer in guys playing. That's how they improve. And so his demeanor gives me a ton of confidence that he can handle a rough spot or two. Because, look, it's the reality of quarterback playing the league and being a young player. Like, there's going to be ups and downs. It happens. But you see his demeanor, his heart rate never changes. He doesn't flinch when it comes to a mistake or two, and he just goes right back and does it again. And I think that's the – makeup you have to have as an NFL quarterback, because you know every quarterback in the league throws interceptions, every quarterback in the league gets sacked, every quarterback in the league loses games, and so you have to battle through those moments, and the mindset and the makeup of the person is really what separates guys and being able to handle those things. So Cam has shown thus far that he's up to that task, and there's still things to come and still things he's going to have to deal with, but pleased with his ability to handle it so far.
There's certain ways that Traylon could still end up on the roster at some point, but at this point, is it likely that his tenure is probably over?
I mean, hard to say at this point. Maybe we've waived him injured, and if he doesn't get claimed, he reverts back to IR, and he's in the normal IR process. So at this moment, don't really have much more to add to it as far as conjecture goes.
After the whole offseason of the penalty emphasis and everything, is there at least a tiny bit of symbolism that you get to the stadium, your defensive line jumps off sides on the first play of defensive line, period. They jump off sides, I think, on the first play of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see that. Not in a drill. I get it, a drill. But, yeah, I don't want to see it in a team period, certainly. That's one of the things that we're trying to do a better job of. Those guys are trying to get off the ball too and time up the cadence. That's part of it. But yeah, certainly don't want to see, you know, free 5 yards for an offense, and don't want to see our offense take away 5 yards for us either in the same vein. So had a penalty or two at the stadium. You're going to have penalties, but it's the ones that like that I think that we can control, that we got to do a better job of. So yeah, don't want to see it, and we address it and correct it, and we keep moving forward with it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All righty, that was head coach Brian Callahan. We will come back and react to what he had to say there. This is Robbie and
Bring it on home, PK.
102.5 The Game.